Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you've had a wonderful weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, October 6th. Coming up today, we've got fading red roots in Medway, an expletive-laden cushion in Tunbridge Wells, and back-to-back defeats for the Gills. But first, taking a look at our top story today. A former Asda employee from Maidstone has ended up in court after fraudulently using a company account to book taxis. The 30-year-old from Bazalgette Rise racked up thousands of pounds in fares. Alex Langridge has been following this story for the podcast. She's joined me now. Alex, first of all, can you tell us about the scam Leroy Halegbe had going while he was employed at Asda?
So Halegbe repeatedly used Asda's account with a transport provider called Cabfind to book taxis for his personal use without permission from the supermarket. The account was available to be used by managers and not his hourly paid staff to arrange transport for its workers if there was a reason that they could no longer drive the vans, such as if the driver became unwell. Halegbe repeatedly exploited this and used it in one case to book a taxi from Asda in Gravesend to his mum's house in northwest London and then back to his home in Maidstone. He was charged with 17 counts of fraudulent activity.
And just how much did he rack up in fares?
So he racked up a bill of £6,217.62 in fares between January and March of this year.
Now, he's avoided being sent to prison, but how was he eventually sentenced?
So although his offending crossed the custody threshold, the magistrates decided not to send Halegbe to prison. Instead, they handed him a 12-week sentence suspended for 18 months. However, he also has to do 120 hours of unpaid work and 10 rehabilitation days and has been ordered to repay £3,600 back to Asda.
Thanks so much, Alex. You can read the full details of this story by clicking on the article on the Kent Online homepage.
Kent Online News.
A motorcyclist is fighting for his life in hospital following a crash near Dover. The man in his 40s was riding an orange Honda bike, which collided head-on with a car in St Margaret's at Cliff on Saturday afternoon. He's being treated in London and remains in a critical condition. A man who attacked a stranger at Rochester Railway Station while drunk has avoided being sent to prison. A court heard David O'Connell left his victim with severe bruising after it happened in May last year. The 37-year-old from Quarry Road in Maidstone was given a suspended sentence in order to complete an alcohol treatment program. An Aylesford man has admitted attacking custody staff at Sevenoaks Magistrates Court. Security workers suffered minor injuries after being strangled and assaulted in the toilets of the building. The 32-year-old also admitted an offence from 2021 of attacking an emergency worker. He'll be sentenced next month. A Maidstone man who threatened to post an explicit image of his ex-partner on Facebook has narrowly avoided prison. A court heard Andrew Reader caused great upset and fear for his victim when he sent the abusive messages following the end of their relationship in 2023. The 67-year-old, who now lives in Germany, has been given a suspended sentence and ordered to pay compensation. A court has heard how a Chatham woman stalked her ex-husband and his new wife, bombarding them with nasty calls and emails for almost a year. Katie McMahon even hired a private investigator to find the couple at their new home in Rochester. The 51-year-old from Dockhead Road has been issued with a restraining order. She'll also have to complete rehab sessions and do 40 hours of unpaid work.
Kent Online News.
Warnings have been issued about sewage leaks in the sea at Whitstable and Folkestone following Storm Amy. Overflow releases were reported in the early hours of Saturday to prevent homes and businesses flooding after heavy rain. Southern Water says it could impact water quality levels in the ocean. Meanwhile, the former House of Fraser store at Bluewater has been cordoned off after a hoarding collapsed. The temporary board is said to have blown down in strong winds on Saturday. No one was hurt. The store is due to reopen as Next sometime next year. A busy road near Maidstone has been sealed off following a serious gas leak. Engineers were called to the A228 Snodland bypass yesterday evening. The road's closed between Ham Hill and Brook Street while repairs are carried out. We're told it could take the rest of the day or even longer. Now, the Kent Online podcast has been told red roots in part of Medway will be repainted after drivers noticed the original lines underneath starting to show through. The double lines replaced already existing yellow ones in May last year in a bid to tackle congestion on key routes. But pictures at Kent Online show how the paint has already worn off on a busy stretch of the A2 through Raynham. Steve Goddard is a business owner in Raynham. He says footfall has dropped since they were introduced last May.
Personally, I was always opposed to the red lines. In an area like Rainham, you don't need them. They're there for big demographic areas where people in a red route area might have 100,000 people and they'll still walk to the shops. In Rainham, they don't walk to the shops. And the parking fees, the red route, it discourages people to come to Rainham. Rainham now is a rat run. People drive through it, they don't come here. And that was down to the red route and down to the extortionate fees for the parking. The first week of the red route, we were down 40% in footfall. And that's obviously going to have an impact on revenues going forward. Costs going up, revenue going down, it's not a good recipe.
Councillor Alex Patterson is in charge of highways.
What I would say is that the red routes didn't enforce any restrictions which weren't already there. It just changed the way that they were enforced. So these were double yellow lines previously. No one should have been stopping there. So nothing should have changed in that respect. What did happen when we brought in the red routes was as a response to feedback from businesses, from residents, from other stakeholders. We actually introduced additional loading areas. So these were places that no one could legally stop before, but now they can. So I'm afraid I don't accept that claim, because nobody is doing anything now that they weren't prohibited from doing before.
I went down there yesterday and I've noticed that actually the yellow beneath it is starting to rise up, obviously where people were driving over it, harsh weather and etc. Are there any plans to kind of paint over it?
So if lines need repainting, then that's obviously something that our operational teams will look into. I think what that points to is just how much traffic there is on the Rainham Red Route. It's probably, for all that it was the one that appeared to attract the greatest opposition before it came in, has had the greatest positive impact. Bus companies are delighted about the positive effect it's had on their timetables, their reliability. I think it's actually been a fantastic success. If the lines need repainting, that's something that we'll certainly have looked into.
Kent Online News.
Rochester Cathedral will be lit up yellow tonight to raise awareness of hygiene poverty. A study by the Hygiene Bank has revealed 8.7 million Brits are avoiding going into the office because they can't afford things like shower gel, deodorant or washing powder. Tracy Wood is from the Community Cupboard in West Kingsdown, which provides support for those who were struggling. She's been chatting to Lucy.
We were set up in 2019. A group of us got together. There was some talk in the community of people needing some support, and we didn't have anything locally around here. So we started off in the boots of our cars, just helping people. The community got more and more involved in it, and 6 years on, we have two hubs now in Kent. I've got one in West Kingsdown and one in Swanley. And what we do is we provide a safe space where people can come in, have a cup of tea. We have the food, we have the toiletries, but we also have the services here as well. So on a regular basis, we have different support agencies here to try and help with the underlying issue behind the situation they've got into.
Yeah, I suppose we hear a lot about food banks, don't we? But hygiene poverty is maybe one of the more hidden issues when it comes to the cost of living crisis.
Yeah, the hygiene products are so expensive. People just can't afford them and they have to choose between the food and the hygiene. But the problem is that you are then sort of sending children to school with dirty clothes or not clean. People can't get to work because of their hygiene. So, of course, they have to eat. That is the priority. But they do need the hygiene products as well to make themselves actually clean.
Do you hear from anyone coming in who is concerned about, you know, going into work and colleagues maybe thinking they're not clean because they can't afford these products?
I think that's a general thing across everybody. I think that, I mean, whether they're going to work or into school, so people will always feel, you know, if you've got any deodorant, that's one of the first things they'll ask for. Toilet roll, washing powder, deodorants, that's the key things, because they're so expensive, that they want to go to work. Like they should be able to go to work or school feeling clean, but they can't afford to do that. So they are avoiding that. You know, people that don't have access to those products, how can they go and have an interview for a job if they haven't got one when they're not looking presentable?
The cost of living crisis, we've heard about for the last kind of 5-6 years, and that's how long you guys have been running as well. Do you think hygiene poverty has become more of an issue over that time?
Yes, I think that the obviously the cost of living has caused a massive issue And it means that our service has grown and grown and grown. I think more people are struggling to buy the food. They're not purchasing the hygiene products. They're unable to fund them. So I think that has massively grown over the last 6 years that we've been running anyway. When we set up, our aim was to support generally the ones that didn't have any access to benefits. Probably about 80-85% of our families are working. We are supporting teachers, we are supporting a lot of nurses. These are career people that cannot afford the essentials that they've got. I think that it's always been like that for us. Yes, there are people that can get benefits and everything else, but it is the working families that we are primarily working with.
Work has started to demolish abandoned buildings in part of Ashford to make way for new social housing. The former Kent Wool Growers site on Tannery Lane has been vacant since the company shut down in 2017. The Borough Council bought the land 2 years ago and is planning to build 170 affordable homes. Some residents in Sandwich say plans for a new elephant statue will celebrate animal cruelty. The Town Council wants to install a sculpture on the quay to represent the first elephant to arrive in the UK, which was shipped from Africa in 1255. A petition's been launched against the idea as campaigners say the animal was treated poorly. Bosses say the statue's designed to bring in more tourists. Plans to double the number of boot fairs held on farmland near Dartford have been dismissed following an appeal. Organisers wanted permission for 28 events a year on Foxhounds Lane in Southfleet instead of the current 14. The idea's already been rejected by Dartford Council, who described it as inappropriate development in the Green Belt. Now the Planning Inspectorate has upheld the decision. There are calls to bring an abandoned housing estate in Dover back into use. Old Park Close was previously used by army officers and their families, but it's been empty since the nearby barracks closed in the 90s. The Ministry of Defence says they're considering reusing it for military accommodation or asking the local council to take on the site. You can see pictures at Kent Online.
Kent Online News.
A mum from Tunbridge Wells has labelled a shop window display unacceptable for showing a cushion with an expletive. The uncensored item was spotted in the front window of the Urban Outfitters in Cavalry Road. Barbara McAuliffe was walking past on the morning of Saturday, September 27th. She's been speaking to reporter Ellie Hodgson.
We just walked past the window and had to just look at their display. It's in their main display window that faces outwards to the public. And I saw the item and walked past it, and then it registered, and I did a sort of double take actually, because I thought, did I just read what I thought I'd read? So we went back, and it was low level, right at the front of the window, surrounded by other items. So that's what drew our attention to it. And I said, I sort of double checked and said to my husband, is that what I thought it said? And he said, yes. So we just thought it was a bit sort of too much for a window display, you know, particularly for children actually walking by.
And as you say, it's the fact that children walking by can see that. It's not sort of buried within the store.
Although, I mean, the item wasn't large. It was like, a star-shaped cushion. I sent you the photo of it, but it was at child height, and it wasn't covered up or anything. It was almost there. We both thought it was quite inappropriate to put it where it was, and it's not normally what you would expect to see in a display for a high street retailer as such, and to have it on open display, I thought it was just a little bit too much. It was almost, I don't know whether it was there to actually provoke a reaction really from people. I don't know. But so we went in and just said to the staff behind the counter, all nice and normal, that I'd just like to make a comment about one of the items that was in the window. And I didn't think it was appropriate. And from their reaction, they said, I think someone else had previously been in to make a comment about it as well. So I thought, yeah, okay, fair enough. And I said to them, do you think that's acceptable? And they said they couldn't do anything about it because it was a display that was almost like a corporate, corporate design for that window. They couldn't do anything about it. And I said, well, can you not cover it up or slightly hide it? And they said, no, they couldn't. And that was it. So we just registered the comment and went away. But, it just seemed a little bit insensitive to have that on display with people walking by. I know, obviously, the use of that, the F word today is more commonplace. A lot of people use it in their language all the time. But there are still people who consider it a little bit offensive. And I think it was very sort of insensitive to them, and also very irresponsible with regard to children. And it was at child height as well.
Barbara returned to the store on October 1st and noticed the cushion had been moved towards the back. Urban Outfitters said the concerns had been raised with head office for review. A Ken wedding venue is said to be brought back into use 8 months after it suddenly closed. The Little Silver Country Hotel near Tenterton shut in February after going into administration. The site just off the A28 has been bought for £2.1 million by an entrepreneur who's also spending £400,000 on renovations. A new bus depot is due to open in New Romney, creating 20 jobs. Nova Busing Limited has revealed plans for a new facility at the Mountfield Industrial Estate. Bosses say their current depot in Rye is no longer big enough to meet demand. Elsewhere, electric buses are finally going to be used for a zero-emission fast-track service in Dover a year after it first started. £34 million was spent on the transport project connecting Whitfield, the railway station and town centre, but the electric vehicles weren't ready in time for the launch date last November. Bosses at Kent County Council say they're now on their way and could be used in time for Christmas. Kent's youngest parish councillor is urging more people his age to get involved in politics. James Hodgkinson was just 18 when he was elected in Upper Hards near Canterbury last July. He says serving on the council is a great way to learn how society works and bring about change for local residents.
Kent Online Sport.
Football Now and Gillingham have suffered back-to-back defeats in League Two for the first time this season. They've lost 3-2 away at MK Dons. Richard Dobson took charge of the side as boss Gareth Ainsworth is taking time off for heart surgery. The assistant manager gave this update after the match.
The operation was a success, so that's good news. He's obviously going to be recuperating in hospital over the next few days, so I'll speak to him when he's ready and well enough to talk. But at the moment, there's more important things in life than the result sometimes. And I think, as I said to the boys beforehand, this is all about perspective. You know, life teaches you lessons, and we do this job because we want to. It's not a chore. It's an honour to do it. Gaz has had to go through something that he had no choice over this week. Further down the line, it could have been life or death had it not been found. So, we've got to see the bigger perspective, bigger picture in it all. Hopefully Gaz is going to recuperate well, and we'll just carry on doing as we do whilst he's recovering.
The Gills are now fourth in the table. Speaking to reporters, midfielder Johnny Williams says the whole team is disappointed.
There wasn't much in it first half, to be honest. We can't afford to keep, conceding early. I think maybe the last three games we've started poorly. We was real hot on making sure we had a good start. Unfortunately, it hits Sam and goes in, and you're thinking it's happened again. But, there is huge fight in this team. I thought we've come out, we sorted a few bits out with Dobbo and Pete at half-time, and we started the second half really well. I think we had a 15-20 minute spell where we should have scored, really, and equalised, and who knows what would have happened. But we can't afford to go 2-3-0 down because we give ourselves a huge mountain to climb. And even then, Cat was very close to heading in to make it 3-3, which would have been unbelievable, and the fans probably would have deserved that moment.
There must be a positive to take from today. Yes, we were 3-0 down, but we've had that never say die attitude. You don't know when you beat, and that's going to count a lot in a lot of fixtures this season.
Yeah, I think we've showed throughout this season we've scored, even back end of last season, we've scored a lot of goals in the second half. Maybe we can start scoring more in the first half and starting a bit better and not wait until we go behind, and getting the first goal will be huge in these games. But to be honest, credit to MK Dons, they're going to be around it. I think they've They've got a good side, good manager, and we went head to head and possibly could have drawn and on another day won that game.
They're travelling to take on Colchester United in the EFL Trophy tomorrow night before hosting Cheltenham Town in League Two on Saturday. Staying with football, in London, City Lionesses have beaten Liverpool in the Women's Super League. Elena Linari scored a late penalty to secure a 1-0 victory. The side, who train near Aylesford, are now seventh in the table. And in ice hockey, Kent's Invicta Dynamos have been beaten by Slough Jets in the Challenge Cup. They lost 5-3 at home in Gillingham last night. Saturday's game away at Solent Devils was cancelled because of temporary maintenance issues at the rink in Gosport. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And while you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. It gives you access to content with fewer ads, exclusive stories and no pop-ups. You can choose the subscription plan that works best for you. To find out more, head to www.kentonline.co.uk/subscribe.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.